Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. The good news is that advances in medicine are improving the way doctors can diagnose problems and treat them. The bad news is that consumers can find it hard to keep up, to know the right questions to ask, to be full partners in their health care. Women, who are often guardians of their family's health as well as their own, have had a special resource for more than two decades. Every autumn, Johns Hopkins Medicine presents dozens of its experts on one day discussing state-of-the-art developments in health and medicine. The day is called A Woman's Journey, and it will take place a week from Saturday, November 5th. This year's 32 topics will range from how our eyes age to brain health to distinguishing headaches from migraines and how the Zika virus spreads. From this spread, we've picked two topics. Later, we'll discuss nutrition as a tool to better health. But right now, we're going to learn about inflammation and its connection to chronic diseases like cancer and heart disease. In the studio with me is Dr. Lisa Christopher Stein. She's a rheumatologist and associate professor of medicine and neurology and director of the Johns Hopkins Myositis Center. Welcome to On the Record.
Thank you so much, Sheila.
I hear inflammation, I think, red, sore, swollen, but you're the expert. What do you mean by inflammation?
Well, actually, you have a lot of expertise in that description. So inflammation is something that's been described for centuries. In fact, if we look back in the medical literature, the first descriptions come to the time of Hippocrates, and then in the first century AD, a writer, actually not a physician, but a writer by the name of Celsus, describes the four cardinal features of inflammation, which we still see today, much like you just spoke about. So that, in fact, is redness, swelling, pain, and heat. That's right. So calor, rubor, dolor, tumor is how it was described originally in the Latin form. And that's still true today.
And of course, back then they could see inflammation outside the body, like on the skin.
Yes.
But there's also inflammation inside our bodies.
I think that's probably where the conundrum really starts. So we certainly can see if we hit our finger with a hammer, the inflammation that's there is acute, it's quick, and it's actually an important part of healing. So inflammation has both a healing mechanism, but also with chronic inflammation, the inflammation we actually don't see, mostly inside our bodies, that's where things seem to go awry.
So inflammation is healing. I don't think of it that way. I think of it as sort of a temporary discomfort that I hope will go away, but it's actually doing something for me?
That's right. So I think that acute inflammation, temporary inflammation, quick inflammation is generally thought of as a healing process. But you would also be correct in that many people don't think of the two sides of inflammation. In fact, historically, physicians argued whether it was an important thing for healing or was it, in fact, a deleterious or an unfortunate part of something that happens to us. So in the early stages, it's important to have inflammation. When we have surgery, we need to have an inflammatory response to heal that incision. When we hurt ourselves, the same thing. But when we don't shut that inflammation off, or when that signal comes about aberrantly, in other words, without any particular stimulus, we didn't hit our finger, we don't know why, there's inflammation within our bodies that's chronic in nature. That's what seems to be the inflammatory response that is more of a problem for our bodies rather than helping us.
And when you say a problem, I mean, it seems to me, I think of inflammation as more of a temporary irritation. It doesn't seem like, in the total scale of dangers, very risky. But you're paying a lot of attention to it.
Yeah, I think as a rheumatologist, we certainly pay attention to it. So if you use the paradigm of rheumatologic diseases, probably most noteworthy is rheumatoid arthritis, which is a very common disease, affects about 1 in 100 people, more often women, and so the topic is timely here. But that's a chronic inflammatory disease, and what we know is it, as well as lupus and other rheumatic diseases, in fact, have an elevated risk of heart disease and cancer. So that is an early signal to us that something is going on, that chronic inflammation is probably harboring with it not only the inflammatory response in the organ it affects, like the joint or the muscle, but in fact is a systemic process that can bring on an elevated risk for cancer or even heart disease.
So walk me through that with heart disease. What what is the inflammation that can contribute to heart disease?
Sure. And I'll step back to say I'm not a cardiologist, and I'm not even sure that we fully understand the mechanism by which this occurs. But I can tell you that anecdotally, it was noted that while cholesterol is a big problem, and certainly high cholesterol can be contributory for folks that go on to have heart attacks and problems in their blood vessels, a large minority, if not a majority, of patients might in fact have normal cholesterol and still have heart disease, which got doctors thinking why this might be the case. And in fact, what used to be thought of as a process of just a clogging of an artery where there's a plaque that clogs the pipe, essentially, right? There's an arterial clog, and that's what causes a heart attack, which is true to an extent, but it turns out it's not actually having that plaque there, but it's the vulnerability of that plaque. So what we know is inside the blood vessel, there are a lot of chemicals that mediate inflammation, and it's that inflammatory response that tells the blood vessel something is abnormal and, in fact, makes that plaque vulnerable, pushes it further down the line. And, in fact, it's the vulnerability of that plaque clogging the blood vessel that probably contributes in many cases to people's heart disease, and is for sure with women. So I think it's more complex than probably a simple answer. I think we're still trying to figure out a lot of what occurs with heart disease. We do know that inflammatory markers, something called a C-reactive protein, which received a lot of critical thinking about a few years ago with a large trial showing that, in fact, that seems to potentially be a marker for people at higher risk for heart disease. So again, an indirect link to say, people with underlying inflammation with this marker of inflammation in their blood may have a higher risk for heart disease. And so that's where that paradigm comes in.
That's Dr. Lisa Christopher-Stein, Associate Professor of Medicine and Neurology, here on The Record on WYPR. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about one of her specialties, inflammation. She's going to discuss it at A Woman's Journey, a week from Saturday, a day of health presentations for women. So if this marker, something that you can test for in the blood, you can count in the blood, could be a sign that I may be at risk for a heart attack. Is that a test that I should get preventively?
So I'd say the answer to that is it's controversial. When we first realized that C-reactive protein or high-sensitivity CRP might be a marker, everyone sort of rushed to say that we should be checking this. So I think the answer I would say, again, as a non-cardiologist, is that cautiously, the people at higher risk, that may help them. So if you're at a normal risk that you don't have any other reason to suspect that you have an increased risk for heart disease, the CRP level may not be as helpful for you. If somebody at a moderate risk with other risk factors for heart disease, that may help delineate those with a higher risk for an eventual heart attack. So I think that the literature has changed over time. In the right risk groups, though, with a good discussion with your physician, a CRP may be something that might be helpful to help stratify your risk of whether or not you were likely to go on to have heart disease.
What's the connection between inflammation and cancer?
Sure. So again, in rheumatic diseases, cancer is increased in several of them. In fact, in the rarer diseases that I see, which are inflammatory muscle diseases, or myositis, up to 25% of patients actually present with cancer at the same time they present with their muscle disease. So it's not an insignificant amount of people that both processes affect. So if we dial back and we say, well, why might that be? And I'll tell you, I don't have the answer today, but I think a lot about it. One of the questions is, what is the continuum? How does chronic inflammation then intercede with cancer? And you can look not only at autoimmune disease, but I think some of the more common diseases like chronic hepatitis, itis, meaning inflammation, that ending on the word tells us there's an inflammatory process there. People who have chronic hepatitis have a higher risk to go on to develop hepatocellular carcinoma or liver cancer. Likewise, people with esophageal inflammation in their esophagus, have a higher risk for esophageal cancer. So we know there's indirect evidence that a long-standing itis, a long-standing inflammation, will in fact, in some, lead to full-on cancer. And there has been a lot of investigators trying to answer that really at the cellular level or the molecular level, saying, really, can we figure out what actually happens? And while I don't think the science is quite there yet, there are at least a few studies that suggest that when inflammation causes our cells to divide, as well as it probably mutates or changes our DNA. We do that every day. Our DNA changes, we repair it. We have a nice repair mechanism to do that. Some scientists have shown that it seems that when we have an inflammatory response, at the same time, our DNA cannot repair itself effectively. So an acute inflammation, probably not so bad. It doesn't seem to affect that repair mechanism. But when you have chronic insults, on and on with inflammatory responses day after day and year after year, it may actually affect our own body's ability to repair our DNA and prevent cancer.
So what can I do with this information? Yeah. I mean, if I think I've got some kind of chronic inflammation, what can I do?
It's not going to be rocket science. It's going to be the things that we tell patients to do every day, but I'll try to give you a little scientific basis behind it. The first thing to do is to try to maintain a normal weight. And why that is, it turns out that fat cells have a lot of inflammatory chemicals in them. The adipocyte, or the fat cell itself, produces inflammation just by itself. So merely losing weight or maintaining a normal body mass index, a normal weight, not only for health reasons and preventing other chronic diseases, it in itself is anti-inflammatory. Exercise. In addition to building muscles, being healthy, exercise likely may even change our gene signature. There's some provocative research that suggests that pro-inflammatory genes, or those that incite inflammation, are in fact reduced, and anti-inflammatory genes are turned on when we exercise. And then that, of course, which I think your next guest will discuss in great detail, is nutrition. And certain foods may or may not be inflammatory. I think that is a science that is just on its cusp. And certainly, when patients ask me about nutrition, I'll admit first that in 4 years of medical school, I think I had 4 hours of nutrition training. But I recommend the whole foods diet and perhaps an elimination diet where you take certain food groups out and then reintroduce them after taking them out for a month, just trying to figure out what might be inflammatory for you. So simple things, diet, exercise, and watch what you eat. It doesn't sound so shocking, but it has a scientific basis behind it.
I learned a lot. I really appreciate your talking to us. Thank you.
Oh, what a pleasure it was. Thank you so much.
Dr. Lisa Christopher Stein is Associate Professor of Medicine and Neurology and Director of the Johns Hopkins Myositis Center. She'll be discussing key signs of inflammation and its role in chronic diseases, including heart disease, cancer, and rheumatic and autoimmune diseases, at A Woman's Journey on November 5th. I'm Sheila Cast. We need to take a quick break on the record. When we come back, another health topic for women, nutrition. Stay with us.